This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
It's just incredible to me to think that the year 2000 was 20 years ago. And furthermore, if you were born in the 1900s, you lived through the turn of a century. But there's something more incredible. Many of us have done something nobody has done for 1,000 years. We welcomed a new millennium. Ever think about that? So here today we are on the first Sunday of a new year and a new month, and also the first Sunday of a new decade. Last Sunday we talked about how the new year is a wonderful time for God's children to allow Him to wipe away the mistakes and failures of the past, and with His help to make a fresh start. And for you who call New Life your church home, I believe God has given us a word as we begin 2020. And the word is journey. The Lord has asked me as your pastor to help lead you on a journey. And you know, life is a journey. That's what the journey we're on. Matthew 7:14, Jesus says, "Small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The Lord wants me to remind you that there is a road that leads to life, not simply a decision. I'm so encouraged and excited about the class that Pastor Alex has started this morning, and I encourage you, if you weren't there, make the effort to be there next Sunday, 9:30, talking about that very thing that's more than a decision. The Apostle Paul instructs us in the 12th chapter of Romans. He says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, when you repent, you ask Christ to forgive your sins, you turn around. You change direction. But you're not renewed. Your new birth into the kingdom of God simply prepares and directs you toward the road that leads to life. It's then that the journey begins. Beyond salvation, our focus at New Life Community Church is the journey. It's helping you to be transformed. As St. Paul says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so a class that Pastor Alex began this morning is designed and dedicated to helping you on a journey of transformation for the glory of God. He's going to be providing tools that you've probably never heard of or seen before, and it's going to help you. And so don't blow it off like it's not important. It is. Commit to perfect attendance. There's a commitment for you. I'm convinced that 2020 could easily be the greatest year of spiritual growth that you ever have experienced. Amen. So are you ready?
Yes.
Good. Let me begin this morning by saying this. A journey is a journey. Whether your destination is the heavenly kingdom or the magic kingdom, both of those demand patience, a good sense of direction, and a driver who knows that the enjoyment at the end of the trip is worth the hassles in the midst of the trip. As I think back to when my wife Debbie and our kids traveled across the United States on a short vacation to California years ago, I recognize some similarities between that earthly journey and God's heavenly one. Similarity number one, in order to reach the destination, we have to say no to some requests. Can you imagine what would happen if a parent honored each request of each child during a trip? We would inch our bloated bellies from one ice cream shop to the next. Our priority would be popcorn, and our itinerary would read like a fast food menu. Go to the Cherry Malt, make a right. Head north till you find the bacon cheeseburger. Stay north for 1,300 calories and bear left at the Pizza Supreme. When you see the 2-for-1 chili dog special, take the Pepto-Bismol Turnpike for the list of the next 5 convenience stores. Not the 6th toilet. Anyway, you get the picture. Can you imagine the chaos if a parent indulged every request? Can you imagine the chaos if God indulged each of ours? Listen, a necessary word to take on a trip is no. Destination must reign over Dairy Queen's Ice Cream Sundae. First Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So what did we learn there? What is God's destiny for your life? Salvation. God's overwhelming desire is that you reach that destiny. His itinerary includes stops that encourage your journey. He frowns on stops that deter you. Whenever his sovereign plan and your earthly plan collide, a decision must be made. A question must be answered. And the question is, who's in charge of this journey? So let me ask you, if God must choose between your earthly satisfaction and your heavenly salvation, which one do you hope he chooses? Yeah, me too. For you see, when I'm in the driver's seat as the father of my children, I remember that I'm in charge. However, when I'm in the passenger's seat as a child of my father, I seem to forget that he is in charge. I somehow forget that God is more concerned with my destiny than my belly, although my belly hasn't done too badly. And I complain when God says no. Now, the request my children made on our trip, none of those requests were evil. They weren't unfair. They weren't rebellious. In fact, we had quite a few Cokes and ice creams. But most of the requests were not necessary. My son Alex, who was 4 years old at the time of this trip, he would have argued that fact. From his viewpoint, another soft drink is indispensable to his happiness. I know otherwise, so I say no. Now, a 40-year-old adult would argue that fact. Would not, you know, they wouldn't argue, but from his viewpoint, a new boss is indispensable to his happiness. See, God knows otherwise. See, Alex would like to have another boss right then. Because he wanted to get his Coke. But God knows otherwise in our lives, and he says no. A 25-year-old woman, she might argue that fact. See, from her viewpoint, that man with that job and that name is exactly what she needs to be happy. Her heavenly father, who's more concerned that she arrives at his city than at the altar, says, wait a few miles, daughter. There's a better option down the road. Wait, she protests. How long do I have to wait? Which takes us to the second similarity between the two journeys, and that is this. Children have no concept of minutes or miles. We'll be there in 6 hours, I said. How long is 6 hours? The 4-year-old asks. How do you explain time to a child who can't even tell time? Well, it's about as long as six Sesame Streets. Six Sesame Streets? That's forever. And to them it is. I mean, and to us it can seem that way too. The one who lives forever has placed himself at the head of a band of pilgrims who mutter, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long must I endure this sickness? How long must I endure this spouse? How long must I endure this paycheck?" So do you really want God to answer? I mean, he could, you know. He could answer in terms of the here and now with time increments. We could understand. He could say, two more years on the illness, the rest of your life in the marriage, 10 more years for the bills. But he doesn't usually do that, does he? No, he usually chooses to measure the here and now against the there and then. And when you compare this life to that life, this life isn't really that long. The Bible says our days on earth are like a shadow. Each man's life is but a breath. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Now, you see, this trip we're on, this journey to California, this is no big challenge to me. Why? Because I've driven thousands of miles on business trips and other family vacations. But for the children, it just seems eternal. So I try another approach. I say, just think how much fun it will be. The ocean, the beach, Disneyland, movie studios. I promise you, kids, when you get there, the trip will have been worth it. But the kids still groan. Which brings us to the third similarity between the two journeys. The third similarity is children cannot envision the reward. See, for me, the hours on the road are just a small price to pay for what's waiting. On the way to California, we're going to go through places where I lived as a child. When I was in eighth grade, I lived in Denver, Colorado. We're going to go through there and see where I used to live. And we're going to Cheyenne, Wyoming. I lived there in sixth and seventh grade. We're going to go through there and see where I lived there. That's going to be cool. Salt Lake City, Utah. I lived there in third, fourth, and fifth grades. We're going to go see the three places I lived in that town. And then I'll go to Los Angeles, California, where I was born, went to kindergarten, first grades. I'm longing to see those places again. I want to see the neighborhoods I used to play in. I want to see the school buildings where I used to go. I can see the palm trees on the way. I can feel the California sun. I can smell the ocean. I know the reward. I can endure the journey because I know the destiny. My children, however, have forgotten the destiny. After all, they're young. Children easily forget. Besides, the road's strange and the dark night has come. They can't see where they're going. So it's my job, as their father, to guide them. I try to help them imagine what they can't see. I tell them how we'll ride rides like on Magic Mountain and how we'll visit a real television studio, and how we'll swim and play in the surf. We'll sleep in a nice hotel. And it seems to work. Their grumbling quiets as they begin to see, and their vision clears as their destiny unfolds. See, I think maybe that's how the Apostle Paul stayed motivated. He had a clear vision of the reward. In 2 Corinthians 4, he writes this. He says, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen." Listen, it's not easy to get children to see a city they can't see. But it's necessary. See, it's not easy for us to see a city we've never seen either, especially when the road's bumpy and when the hour is late and companions are wanting to cancel the trip and take up residence in a motel. It's not easy to fix our eyes on what's unseen, but it's necessary. One line in Scripture, the one we just read, really stands out to me. Paul says, our light and momentary troubles. If I was Paul, I don't think I would have called him that. If you look in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, you can read what happened to him, that he calls light and momentary, imprisoned, beaten with a whip 5 times, faced death, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times, left homeless, stranded in the open sea, in constant danger, hungry, thirsty. Now, hold on. Just hold on. I can go along with calling these things overwhelming and deadly afflictions. I can do that. Or maybe long and trying ordeals. But light and momentary troubles? I don't think so. How could Paul possibly describe endless trials with that phrase? Well, he answers that question for us. He says it's because he could see an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, I'm pastor to most of you, and for some, I know the journey has been long. In fact, it's been very long and stormy. And the last thing I want to do is trivialize the difficulties you've had to face along the way. I'm aware some of you have shouldered burdens that very few of us could ever carry. Some of you have bid farewell to loved ones. Some have been robbed of lifelong dreams. Others have bodies that can't contain your spirit. Some of you have spouses who can't tolerate your faith, or bills that outnumber the paychecks, or challenges that outweigh the strengths, and you're tired. It's hard for you to see the city in the midst of the storms. I mean, the desire to pull over to the side of the road and get out is so strong. So tempting. Oh, you want to go on, but some days the road just seems so long. So let me encourage you with one final parallel between your life's journey and the one our family took. The fourth similarity is this: it's worth it. We visited Hollywood, we visited Muscle Beach, we swam and played in the oceans as the endless tides just kept on sweeping over us and over us. We saw incredible sights as we toured Universal Studios, we visited a couple of sound stages at NBC Studios, we squealed with delight at Disneyland, and we saw the houses I lived in when I was the age of my children. We traveled through the mighty Rocky Mountains, we experienced the beauty of the Southwest Desert, we talked and we laughed and we loved, and yesterday's challenges were lost in today's joy. I think that's what Paul meant. God never said the journey would be easy, but he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Remember, God may not do what you want, but he will do what is right and best. He'll get you home. And the trials of this journey will be lost in the joys of his city and his presence. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Has God's Spirit been speaking to you during this message? Are you identifying with those who are struggling with discouragement and doubt and the temptation to just pull over and quit? Are you someone, if you're honest, would say you're tired of the battle? If so, without any attention being drawn to you, would you be willing to just admit that by simply just raise your hand? Say, yeah, that's me. I've been tempted to quit. I didn't. I'm tempted to. I want to tell you something. I see your hands. And for those who have your hands up, let me tell you something. God has a word for you, and the word is don't quit. Don't quit. The reward is worth the journey. Don't quit. The reward is worth the journey. Listen. Do this. If you raise your hand right now, just stand to your feet. I'm not going to have you do anything else, but stand to your feet because I'm going to pray for you. I want you to receive what God has for you. I want you to feel encouragement today. Don't ever feel embarrassed to be honest. God honors honesty. He meets people who are honest. Lord, I pray for everyone that's standing right now. They're acknowledging their need of you. They're aware of it, and they're asking you to help them. Give them courage right now, the courage to stay the course, to not quit, to do what they know they should do, to follow you, not just know you, who you are, but follow you, listen to you. And Lord, help us to see the city at the end of the trip. Help us to see it so strongly that nothing else matters. We can go through anything. We can go through hell and high water. We are going to the eternal city to be with you. I pray a special dose of faith, encouragement, love, and compassion. May every person standing feel your arms around them, Lord, and feel your mouth right by their ear whispering, I love you, child. I love you, and it's going to be worth it. I'm with you the whole way. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.